are tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm your host, Kenny Shook. On this edition of PTR, we focus on the imposition of genetically modified foods across the world. The following program is the opening plenary to the Food, Global Justice, and Corporate Power, Reclaiming Our Farms, Forests, and Future, which was held in Sacramento, California on June 21st, 2003. The event was being held in response to a U.S. government-sponsored ministerial, which was occurring during the same time.
A ministerial where the United States government is hosting government ministers from over 100 countries, essentially where the U.S. is going to be laying out its vision of global agricultural development, in which genetic engineering, food irradiation, and corporate-controlled agriculture that drives family farmers off the land and keeps people hungry all around the world is being promoted and aggressively pursued.
People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publishes the newspaper People's Tribune Tribuno del Pueblo. Contact and ordering information will be available at the end of the program. The following is part one of a two-part series. We will first hear from Luke Anderson of Genetic Engineering Action Network, who was the moderator of the opening plenary titled The Significance of Sacramento, Biotech, Agriculture, and the World Trade Organization.
Welcome to Food, Global Justice, and Corporate Power, Reclaiming Our Farms, Forests, and Future. Today, we're all here because this is the kickoff event to 5 days of education and action to coincide with the government-level ministerial being hosted in the convention center here in Sacramento, a ministerial where the United States government is hosting government ministers from over 100 countries, essentially where the U.S. is going to be laying out its vision of global agricultural development, in which genetic engineering, food irradiation, and corporate-controlled agriculture that drives family farms off the land and keeps people hungry all around the world is being promoted and aggressively pursued. And it's no coincidence that this meeting is timed just a few months in the run-up to the WTO ministerial happening in Mexico this September, and indeed the FTAA, the Free Trade Areas of the Americas meeting that's happening in Miami this November. Why? Because agriculture is one of the most contentious issues within free trade agreements such as the World Trade Organization, and Peter Rossett from Food First is going to be talking more about how critical it is that the U.S. Try to gather support for its agricultural agenda. One of the other main reasons we're here is about genetic engineering. As probably a lot of you already know, the United States is launching a WTO suit against the European Union for its failure to further allow commercial approval of genetically engineered crops. This, once again, showing the Bush administration's complete lack of regard for democratic process in countries around the world. The resistance to genetic engineering in Europe has not come from the top down. In fact, many of the European governments have been very aggressively promoting genetic engineering in agriculture themselves. It's come due to massive grassroots opposition and resistance from the European public. So while the United States agenda is clearly the globalization of corporate power, here we are in a meeting of education and action, which is all about the globalization of resistance, people's globalization versus corporate globalization. This is what this meeting and these actions over these next days are all about. Genetic engineering is really essentially right now transforming the very nature, the very fabric of the world that we're living in. Within the next years, we will see not only further genetic engineering of food crops, but very likelihood the commercialization of genetically engineered forests, genetically engineered microorganisms, genetically engineered fisheries, genetically engineered farm animals, and within 10 to 15 years, if the science gurus of their day have their way, very likely the genetic engineering of the human race with rich people making genetic tinkers for their designer babies. So we are at a critical moment in history where we're going to decide if we're going to build a movement strong enough to turn back this momentum to genetically engineer our future. And I believe it's amazing to see so many people going to be taking part in actions in the streets, in these educational events over these next days. The biotech industry by the year 2000 not only controlled 60% of the global pesticide market, but 23% of the commercial seed market globally. Monsanto's Robert Fraley was very honest when he said, this isn't just a consolidation of the seed industry, this is a consolidation of the entire food chain. And as Monsanto's Bob Shapiro said, there's a great deal of money can be made from very basic primary needs, food, shelter, and clothing. Essentially, the US agriculture policy is a weapon of war. Just days after we heard that arms dealer Jay Garner was being appointed to oversee humanitarian reconstruction and assistance in Iraq, we also heard that a previous Cargill executive, Cargill controlling nearly half of the global grain trade, was going to be appointed to oversee agricultural development in Iraq. Control of a food supply is as much a weapon as war as cruise missiles or outright military invasions. And it's fantastic to see the peace movement, the anti-war movement, coming here to Sacramento, joining together with the global justice movement and the environmental movement. We are here to oppose U.S. empire, we are here to oppose corporate power, and we are here to build global grassroots resistance. And we're standing... Other than the hundreds of groups that Skip Spitzer referred to earlier on, there's also been a call to action from Via Campesina, the largest people's movement in the world, representing hundreds of millions of peasant farmers, who very clearly see genetic engineering and a corporate-controlled agriculture system as devastating in terms of the impact on their daily lives. We're seeing 25,000 people dying every day from hunger in a world which is already producing enough to feed 1.5 times the current world population with an adequate nutritious diet. And this is a direct result of the economic policies and the corporate meetings taking place in this one here in Sacramento and the ones to follow in Mexico and in Miami. Interestingly, while the corporations and the law firms of the corporations are stealing seeds and the right to save seeds from farmers, the police raided the Welcome Center this morning at 7 a.m. this morning and stole the little mud balls containing seeds which were being prepared all yesterday at the Welcome Center. So the private security force for the multinational corporations have already started their play. Moving on swiftly, we're going to try to finish this panel on time, even though we started a little bit late, so that we can continue on schedule for the rest of the day. So first of all, I'm going to introduce Peter Rossett, the co-director of Food First.
It's a great pleasure to be here. When I look at what's going to happen at the convention center, it makes me feel ashamed to be an American. But when I see everybody here gearing to show what public opinion really is, it makes me proud to be an American. So I have mixed feelings. By American, I don't just mean the United States. I mean all of the Americas, by the way. What's going on? Why is the United States government taking our tax dollars, for those of us who are from this part of America, and using it to fly anywhere from 1 to 3 cabinet ministers from more than 100 countries around the world here to lock them up for 3 days with corporate CEOs from the biotech industry? Why are they doing that? We have an industry that is in crisis. Although sometimes we feel like Monsanto is ever-present and super powerful, in fact, it's a business that's one step away from the corporate graveyard. Monsanto, it's true. Although on the one hand, Monsanto, as Sylvia will say, produces 91% of the transgenic crops sold in the world. On the other hand, their stock has fallen more than 50% in value over the last 2 years. Why? Because nobody will eat the stuff that they produce outside of this country. Moratoriums in Africa, in Europe, in Mexico, in Brazil, in Thailand, in China, in many countries around the world. There are people in some parts of the world who would rather starve than eat this stuff. Unfortunately, here in the United States, we're largely not aware that it's being placed in our food supply, probably 70% of the processed food that we eat. And so we are the laboratory rats for a gigantic experiment that nobody else in the world wants to participate in. This is a crisis. The United States has bet a lot on the biotech industry, and the biotech industry for agriculture, represented by its most important company, American company, is in crisis. The crisis because other countries won't let the stuff in, so the U.S. has got to use its old arm-twisting and brainwashing and pressure tactics in a variety of fora in order to get the rest of the world to eat the stuff that they don't want to eat, that they feel is dangerous to themselves and to their environments. How is the U.S. doing that? Well, the World Trade Organization negotiations are coming up in Cancun, Mexico, September 10th to 14th. For those of you who remember Seattle in 99, that was followed by Doha, Qatar, and now Cancun, Mexico. One of the key issues there is whether countries' refusal to allow GMOs in or placing moratoria on GMOs would be considered an illegal trade barrier under the WTO. The WTO in the world is counterbalanced somewhat by something called the Biosafety Protocol. The Biosafety Protocol, which started with negotiations in Cartagena, and although the U.S., which is not a signatory, managed to water it down, it still gives countries the right, based on prior informed consent, to place moratoriums on the import of genetically engineered seeds. However, the United States, in its infinite wisdom, managed to get language into the Biosafety Protocol, which says it cannot trump the World Trade Organization. So if on the one hand, this Biosafety Protocol, which will now come into force this year because the 50th country ratified it, is an arm that other countries can use to stop this stuff from coming in, that really steps up the pressure on the U.S. and the biotech industry to turn the WTO into the weapon to force them to allow this stuff to come in. So we're really at a key turning point in terms of these international processes. And although the USDA is very upset that people in Sacramento have been saying this has to do with the WTO, in fact it does. The reason why the U.S. is holding this ministerial is to lock up these ministers from other countries for a brainwashing and arm-twisting session on the road to Cancun, Mexico, for the WTO, and on the road to Miami, because in Miami in November are the negotiations for the free trade area of the Americas, which the United States would also like to use to trump the Biosafety Protocol and to force countries to open their borders to GMOs and to say that they're not allowed to have moratoria against the import or the planting of these products. So basically, what the U.S. is doing is taking taxpayer money, our money, out of our pockets, and using it on the one hand to influence these international negotiations on behalf of one industry, an industry that would have fallen by the wayside if it were not for taxpayer support, unwilling taxpayer support, I might add. And on the other hand is, for the same industry, holding essentially a trade fair. At government expense, at taxpayer expense, they're able to show their wares, their genetically modified seeds, their food irradiation equipment, their heavy farm machinery, which compacts and degrades the soil, their heavy irrigation equipment, which salinizes the soil and makes it unusable, their pesticides, which poison the soil and poison the environment, and sell this model to countries from around the world. Lock those ministers up with that trade fair at our expense. This is a model that the U.S. has been trying to export, a model of how to do agriculture and how to produce food that the U.S. has been trying to export for some time. Why? From any point of view other than corporate profits, I don't know, because it's a model that is an absolute, complete, and total failure here in the United States. How can I say it's an absolute, complete, and total failure? Number one, it would have ceased to exist if it were not for an average of $18 billion of taxpayer subsidies every year to prop up a model that doesn't work. That places it after the Pentagon as the second biggest item that taxpayer dollars pay for, propping up corporate farmers because family farmers don't get any of those subsidies. Number two, because of that model, 90% of American farmland is losing topsoil faster than can be replaced, meaning what will we have to farm in the future? And worse yet, at the end of World War II, we had 6 million farmers in this country. Now we have fewer farmers than prisoners, less than 2 million farmers. If you average that out, we have lost over 40 years more than 4,000 farmers per week. More than 4,000 farmers per week have gone bankrupt because they've been tricked into buying technology on bank credit that is so expensive that there is no way you can pay off that credit, given that the same policies drive farm prices down so that giant corporations like Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland can dump cheap food in third world countries and undercut local farmers elsewhere. So this model that we're exporting has destroyed agriculture, rural life, and rural ecologies at home, and is destroying agriculture, rural life, and rural ecologies abroad. That's why we're here this week to say no to the Sacramento Ministerial, no to the WTO, and no to our tax dollars being used as a trade fair for a bankrupt model of agriculture and a bankrupt biotechnology industry. Thank you.
Just a reminder, you're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. You were just listening to Peter Rossett of Food First during the opening plenary of the Food, Global Justice, and Corporate Power, Reclaiming Our Farms, Forests, and Future, held at Cal State University in Sacramento, California.
Next, we have Sylvia Ribeiro from the Action Group on Erosion Technology and Concentration, formerly called RAFI, the program manager in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And thanks to all the organizations that invited us to be here today. One thing, I think that Peter said a lot of what we know, and it's good to be here, to hear from northern organizations and northern people like you what you really think about this technology. In reality, we knew already that we are not speaking about a technology that is for feeding the hungry people in the south, but also because we know that this technology, GM technology, is fundamentally a technology for corporations. And speaking of corporations today is a serious thing. It has always been. But when we started this century, of the 100 economies in the world, the 100 largest economies in the world, 51 were companies and 49 were states. And for instance, the largest company in the world, is Walmart. It's not an oil company. It's not a car company as traditionally has been. It's Walmart. It's a supermarket. This is not only a fact. It's also something that is showing us where we are going. We are going to an incredible concentration of the power over our food, our health, in the hands of very, very few companies, with a weapon, new weapons, which is technologies applied to agriculture, to food, and also to war. In many cases, they are the same companies developing the three things. For instance, the interest in trade. I'm sorry if I'm making you bored with figs. But I want to name, for instance, that when we speak on trade, just so you understand why they are so interested in trade agreements, when we speak on trade, we speak that 75%, some years ago, 75% of the grain trade in the world was controlled by five companies. But today, there are only three. Just so if you know, so for you to know, is Cargill, Bunge and Dreyfus, and they control all the trade in all the grain trade in the world. Well, the majority of the grain trade in the world. If you think 75% is high, I can tell you that 90% of the maize, wheat, coffee, cocoa, and pineapples are controlled by less than 10 multinationals, and 80% of the trade in tea is the same, and 70% of the trade in rice, bananas, and sugar is controlled by multinational companies, the majority of them based in the U.S. I'm not making any difference in the capital from the U.S. or the capital in Europe, but the difference is how supportive these governments are in relation to these companies. And in the case of the U.S., it's very clear that they are using your money, the money of all public, of the whole public, the taxpayer in the U.S., to promote the interest of less and less companies. In relation to biotech, we know today that 58% of the pharmaceutical sales in the world are in the hands of 10 companies. And 90% of the agrochemicals are sold by the top 10 agrochemical companies in the world, and 30% of the seeds. I could give you much more figures about concentration, but why I'm mentioning just those is because in many cases they are the same. And five of them, which are DuPont, Monsanto, Syngenta, which is the merge of Novartis and AstraZeneca, Dow and Bayer, and you will remember the names because they are very well known in both pharmaceuticals and seeds and agrochemicals, is what we call the gene giants. Those are the companies that have 100% control by market and by patents over the whole world on transgenic seeds. Those are the companies, and mainly Monsanto, as Peter already mentioned, that has 90% of the trade they have 90% of the seeds that are out in our fields. So what we see is that through WTO is not the most powerful institution in the world, but it's one of them, for sure. They need some help from others, for instance, from governments or from war, but it's another way of doing war, economic war, against the rest of the world. For instance, patents were introduced in the Third World and in the rest of the world, even in Europe, because of the imposition of the World Trade Organization. The patent laws within the World Trade Organization were proposed by pharmaceutical companies, the same companies that are associated with agrochemical and seed companies to have this control in the world, one by market, one by patents, and they complement each other. So I think we will have more opportunities to speak about all these aspects, but what I want to say that for us, it's very clear that in this conference is not a ministerial. This is not a part of the process of neither the FAO process for the World Food Summit, and not even a part of the process for the World Trade Organization in Cancun. This is just the government of the U.S. paying and selecting who is coming here. The embassies of the U.S. have selected in each country which ministers are invited to come here. So the people coming here are the people that were selected by the U.S. embassies to come here and speak with the U.S. government. And there is three goals for them to accomplish here. The first one is to sell biotech that didn't function here and to be able to market biotech in the name of the poor of the world and get legitimized because it's not functioning in the three countries where it is sold today, and mainly in the U.S., which has sold 66% of the transgenics in the world. So this is the main goal. Another goal in relation to technology is that they are promoting what they call for precision agriculture. I'm sure many of you don't know what this is, but precision agriculture is a way of doing agriculture without people. This satellite agriculture is radar, is biosensors, is the applications of nanotechnology together with biotechnology to eliminate any human being from the country. In the U.S., there are much more people in prison than in farmers, and we definitely don't want to have this situation in the rest of the world. So the second goal for this conference is to tell these invited paid people by U.S. which are the regulations needed. Is what they call a supportive legal environment, is what Anne Veneman has been saying, is to tell them which biosafety, which patent laws they have to do in our own countries to be able to give total freedom and warranties for these few multinational companies. We are really mainly speaking about one, which is Monsanto. To give Monsanto, the whole world, the United Nations, and our governments should change our regulations on biosafety, on environment, and whatever, to allow one company to work free and to have some warranties. And the third goal is that in case the challenge to Europe which is really another question, because they are challenging Europe on GMOs. This is not about GMOs. This is about the right of countries to regulate whatever they want on consumption, on environment, on health. This is about the right of countries to do it. And if there is an institution like the World Trade Organization that can impose something, it's an exemplarist challenge. You know, it's just to give the example to many others. It's not so important if this is going to win or not. The importance is if other countries can see that US is challenging Europe on this, so please don't dare to do anything else like that, like having a moratorium or protecting your citizens against this technology, because if we challenge Europe, we can challenge all of you. And if challenges is not enough, we can use other means like they did in Iraq recently. And this is the clear message that our governments, even if they are paid, are getting in this conference. We know that you, the people here, are not accepting this, but we are not accepting this neither. And this is what I wanted to tell you here. We are not going to surrender to this. We are going to stop these kind of technologies in our countries and protect what is really giving us autonomy, which is farmers, small farmers, agricultures, and the solidarity relationship with consumer organizations and the networks at local level, which is what can give us back the control of our lives beyond any oppressive technology that is being imposed on you or on us in the whole world. Thank you.
That's it for another edition of People's Tribune Radio. You have been listening to part one of a special two-part series, which brings to you the opening plenary of the Food, Global Justice, and Corporate Power, Reclaiming Our Farms, Forests, and Future, a teach-in held at Cal State University, Sacramento, in June 2003. People's Tribune Radio has been brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society where the same science and technology being used for private enterprise is shared in the interest of all of humanity. If you would like to contact the League for a copy of the program or other print and media resources, you can do so by calling the 800 number, 1-800-691-6888. That's 1-800-691-6888. By calling this number, you can also receive information on the League's Speakers Bureau. You can also visit us on the internet at www.lrna.org. I'm Kenny Shook, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, we hope you join us next time for another edition of People's Tribune Radio.